Okay, we are on the fifth and last message on winning spiritual battles. It's been a series on spiritual warfare, on how to be victorious in your life. And some of the messages things we've covered, that if you have missed them, you can find them on our website, on the Facebook site, and now even a YouTube channel. So you can kind of choose how you want to look at the messages. But we talked about earlier, about 5 weeks ago, we talked about how to recognize the work of angels and demons. And then we've talked about many different, what have we talked about, guys? Review here. That's right. What's that? Faith. That was a good one. Sword of the Spirit. That was a good one. That's right. And today we're going to talk about your authority in Christ. And so how to walk in your authority in Jesus Christ. This is going to seal the deal for you when it comes to having victory over spiritual battles. I want to tell you a couple cute memories here. A lifetime ago, Jeff and I were youth pastors in Missouri, and we've been married 20 years, and I was 19, he was 20 when we got married. Right away, we started serving in a church, and we were youth pastors there, and I was children's pastor there. Anyway, and we lived in Missouri while we went to college and serving at this church for about 6 years. Okay, so during this time, we had this little trailer house in a trailer park about 30 miles from Springfield, Missouri. And great, great memories of this little trailer house that we lived in. And it was actually, the trailer park was really nice. It was on a lake. Anyway, so getting there to where I'm going. So the people who ran the trailer park, it was a family. And they had the funniest looking dog you have ever seen. Like, I knocked on the door the first time I ever met the dog. I burst out laughing. And I just, like, the dog came to the door. And it had the head of a black lab with the legs of a basset hound. Legs like 6 inches long, tall, okay? But the full body and head, you know, the black labs have those huge black heads, you know, except for it's like this far off the ground, but the full body. And I was like, oh my goodness, what happened to your dog? I mean, it was like just, it was the funniest looking dog ever. If you just had a headshot, you would have thought black lab. If you just had a foot shot, you know, you would have thought basset hound. And it was like glued to the dog together. Anyway, this dog was really funny. He would always get loose from the family and, you know, take off running as fast as a basset hound can run. You know, the legs like this long. It was so funny. Anyway, and this family had a little guy, a little boy. He was maybe 7 years old, 8 years old. Cute, chubby little guy, all right? With the biggest voice you've ever heard. He's so loud. I mean, the loudest little kid. And I remember this dog would get out. He'd sit there screaming at the dog, come, come. And that dog could care less what that kid, there was nothing backing that kid up. And nothing that little guy could do was going to make that dog come. The dog was like, freedom. And he's running around the lake, the little chubby boy running after him, screaming. And Jeff and I go, so funny, so cute. I tell you, though, that little kid, as much as he yelled and screamed, really had no authority over that dog. That dog knew he didn't answer to that kid. He knew that little boy didn't feed him. That little boy didn't train him. That little boy had no say in his life, no authority. Now let's couple that with another fun memory of when Malachi was about 3 years old and we got our golden retriever, Obi, which we love so much. We lost Obi a couple years ago, but let's just face it, golden retrievers are the most amazing large dog ever, okay? They're amazing. Large dog breeds, there is none like them. And so Obi, golden retrievers live to serve you. It's like in their nature. What must I do to make you happy? I mean, they're just like the most amazing, amazing dogs as far as they just want to make you happy. So they're really actually quite easy to train. They're great for hunting. And so Jeff was working on training Obi, you know, with like signs like, you know, come and stay and some basic things like that. And he was doing really well. And then we remember the day when Obi's out in the yard and little Malachi standing right here. Jeff's behind him. Little Malachi, 3 years old, goes, Obi, come! And that Obi looks at him. really confused, like looks around like, do I really have to? And then Jeff, standing behind Malachi, Malachi has no idea. He just looks at Obi and he says, that's the sign for come. And Obi immediately looks eye contact with Jeff and races over to Malachi. Now Malachi thinks, I own the world. Whatever I say, this dog does. And really, there's the owner, the one with the authority, all authority, right behind him, backing up Malachi. Can I tell you, you are backed up in life by a mighty God. You can look at demons and scary things, diseases, sickness, things. It's bigger than me. I can't tell it to go. Guess what? Big Daddy is behind you. And when you say, go in Jesus' name, he stands there and says, when it comes to your authority in Jesus Christ, it is real authority. It's not fake authority. It's not sometimes he's given you real authority. God really backs you up when you do his stuff. When a demonic attacks come to your mind and you're being bombarded with filth, guess what? When you say go in Jesus' name, you actually have real authority. And it has to go. When sickness strikes your body and you're like, this is not from God, and you stand your ground, and you're like, no, this has to leave in Jesus' name. Guess what? Real authority from God is backing up as you speak, backing you up. When the enemy attempts to hinder God's plans for your career, for your finances, for your relationship, and you're like, I am going to stand here. Remember Ephesians chapter 6? I'm going to stand here in the authority of Jesus Christ, and I will not accept this. You have real authority. It's not like the little chubby boy with the Basset Hound lab. He had nothing backing him up. No, no, no. You have the God of the universe backing up your words. In the realm of spiritual battles, God has given you authority to win. Is there any competitive guys in here that you really hate losing? To be honest, I'm a little bit of the competitive one in my family. I just want to say I won at Catan the other night. I just want to tell you that. And Corey's amazing, and he was here, and I was playing. I know, give me knuckles. It was so good. It's a board game. It's a competitive board game. It may cost you friendships. I don't know if you want to play it. Oh, my goodness. I like to win. I do not like, now I don't mind if I'm playing t-ball and, you know, I let the little guys win or something, but when it comes to spiritual battles, I don't like to lose. I want to win. And that's because God's put a win in me. And he's put a win in you. You were born to win. You were born to overcome, not to be defeated. And you have to know, if you're going to live a life of victory, that God's given you real authority to do it. This is what authority is. Authority as a believer means that you have both God's permission and you have his power to reign in life and move forward in the kingdom of God. You have both God's permission and his power. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them, what's that word? Power and authority, full permission, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. That is a good verse. I want everyone to make this declaration. Say, I have God's power, and I have God's permission to reign in life and to further his kingdom. That's right. Praise Jesus. You know what? You can't, God's given you real authority, and you know, you can't give something you don't possess, right? So I can't give Winter money if I don't possess money. I can't give authority if I don't possess authority. But Jesus, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. So then he looked at you and says, because of that, therefore, go. because Jesus has all authority, he is fully able to give his authority to you so you can reign in life, so you can be victorious, so you can go and run with the kingdom. Matthew 16, 17 says this, "On this rock I will build my church." This is Jesus speaking. "And the gates of hell will not overcome it." If you have felt like there's a gate of hell overcoming you, you need to stand on this scripture. There's no authority in hell that has a right to overcome your life. The Lord's going to build his church in you. You are the church, right? And corporately, the gates of hell will not overcome it. And this is what he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." In the scripture, when you see the word keys, it talks about authority. It speaks about spiritual authority, keys. "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is talking about prayer. It's talking about declarations that you're making that are according to God's will. It's not necessarily talking about, "I command new car to show up," you know. But, I mean, I don't know. God might want to give you a new car. Saying according to his will, what he wants, which we find in the scripture, his will is not elusive. It's not like we can't know God's will. We can know God's will. We look at the scripture, we see what his will is, and as we pray that out, it says, "I've given you real authority, that as you bind things, they're bound. As you loose things, they're loosed." Matthew 28, 18 through 20. When Jesus came to them, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Here again is the one who has all authority imparting that real authority, not fake, not partial, not sometimes, real authority to his people so that you can do this stuff, so you can reign in life. I want to talk about truce for occupying your place of authority, okay? I'm going to give you like five or six of them. You have a place of authority that you're to stand in, and the enemy is always trying to get you to give it up. He really can't steal it from you. Like, he can't take it by force, but he can convince you to relinquish the authority to him. And that happens all the time since Adam. It happens. So I want to give you some truths for occupying this place of authority that God's given you. He's given me a right. He's given me permission. I don't have to be run over by the devil. I don't have to live on a roller coaster of depression and discouragement and, "Oh, everything's going to be okay. Never mind. Woo!" You know, like, I can reign in life with Jesus. Number one, a truth for occupying your place of authority. You need to have confidence in God's leadership over your life. You need to have confidence in God's leadership over your life. I want to explain this. Avoid second-guessing and constant critiquing of your every move. Over-evaluations and self-criticism will rob you of your place of authority. This is what I mean. We seek the Lord for wisdom, okay? We're not out here rogue doing our own thing. We're depending on Jesus. So seek the Lord for wisdom. Make the best decisions you know how to make. And then after that, determine you're going to take your peace and walk in confidence before the Lord. You're going to walk in confidence that God's directing you, that you did your best, that you sought him, that if something's not his will, he's going to stop you, he's going to direct you, he's going to give you instruction. But you seek the Lord, you make the best decision you know how to make, and then you walk in peace and go forward. But instead, what many of us do is we fret and worry, and we can't, like, "Oh, I don't want to make a mistake, I don't want to make a mistake," and we have more faith in our ability to make a mistake than God's ability to keep us in his will. He is really big, and when you're depending on him, you can really trust him. He's a really good father. This is a story of my life, I feel like. I so care about doing God's will that I feel like for years the enemy would use that very strength against me to cause me to second guess everything. You know, I would make my decision, and then maybe it was the wrong decision, maybe it was the right, no, it's the right one, no, it's the wrong one, no, it's right, no, it's wrong. I'd start to walk down the road a couple steps and go, maybe this wasn't right, and then I'd go back, and meanwhile, I have just relinquished all confidence in God and given my authority to the enemy, because I am such a doubting wave tossed on the sea, is what James calls it. James 1:5 says this, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. And what will God do? Give you generously wisdom without finding fault. It'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because they're double-minded, unstable. The enemy wants to get you critiquing and analyzing, over-analyzing. Any of you, like, have a conversation with somebody, then you walk away, and you're, like, you next for the next, like, 3 days, you're thinking about the conversation you had. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? Oh, that was stupid. You know, a lot of times after I preach, I go home, and I'm like, that was the worst sermon in the entire world. I can't believe I said this. I can't believe I said that. And finally, like, devil, you're such a liar. I'm just going to listen to it again. And most of the time, Sunday evening or Monday morning, I watch myself on YouTube. And just to prove the devil's a liar. No, I wasn't an idiot. I mean, I am a little goofy sometimes. But quirky. But I preached the word. That's okay, right? We have to prove the devil a liar and stay in our place of authority with God. Because he will get you tossing up and down, up and down. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? You make your decision. You have confidence in the grace of God and that he's a good leader, and you move forward. And you say, God, you're big enough to stop this thing or to change my track, but I am not going to sit here and pick apart every decision and internal thought and tell you, when you're looking all in here, you can't look up here. You only have the ability to look in one direction. And you're either going to spend all your time picking apart every little thing inside of you over and just criticizing, or you're going to fix your eyes on Jesus and believe that he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And that he who began this good work in you is actually going to be able to complete it. No one ever got encouraged by looking at all the crud inside of themselves. Now, don't get me wrong, when you see crud, when the Holy Spirit brings it up, we repent of it. I'm not telling you not to repent of sin. I'm just saying, if all you ever do is look inside of yourself and criticize yourself, you are never going to live in the encouragement of the Lord. And you actually don't have the power to even overcome, because you don't get power from looking inside of you. You get power from looking at Jesus Christ. And then when he brings up the crud that's inside of you, you go, ooh, yuck, put that behind you, keep moving. Number two. Truth for occupying your place of authority. You need to know that God is with you no matter how you feel. This is for if you are a born-again believer in this room. Actually, if you are not born again, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is not with you. I mean, I'm not being harsh. I'm just saying God's not with you if you have rejected him and you have not invited him into your life. He's really a gentleman. He's not going to push himself in and make himself be in your life. If you're like, I don't want you, he's like, I'm waiting for you. I'm ready when you're ready, okay? He loves you, absolutely. But if you're in this room and you're born again, Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Savior of your life, then you need to know God is with you every day, every moment, every breath. In your ugliest mom moments, oh, ladies, we all know we have them. I've had many moments when I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that wasn't videotaped. I am not proud of what just happened there. And I try my best to clean up my mess, right? I mean, you know, but in your ugliest moments, like, this is how we often think. We can operate in authority when we feel really powerful. when we feel like, oh, God loves me, I am loving him, I am serving him with everything, he is pleased with me, I'm walking in his authority. But how about when you just got in this huge fight with your husband, you spit the head off your kids almost, and then you turn around and someone says, could you pray for healing for me? And I'm like, oh, jeez, I don't got it. I mean, he's left me. 10 minutes ago, I could have commanded the sickness to leave, but right now, Jesus temporarily left me because I was really ugly right there. No, he is with you all the time. And his authority is on you in your worst moments and in your best moments. You access the power of God by faith. It's not ever anything you ever did. It's not ever because you were good enough. It is by faith that we have favor with the Lord and that we have authority to rule and reign in his life. Here's some scriptures for you. Matthew 28:20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that beautiful? Hebrews 35:5. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When you said yes, when you said I do to Jesus, it was like this forever marriage covenant, like none other. Oh, I am in this for sickness or for health. God's like, I am in this for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse. I know I've seen them both on you. I know. I am in it. That ring is on your finger. I've said I do to you. You said I do to me. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And because of that truth penetrating your heart, you know you have authority, permission from God 24/7 to reign in this life, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to rebuke demon spirits when necessary. You have permission. Number three, a truth for occupying your place of authority. You need to determine to live according to God's words and promises, not your emotions and feelings. This couples with the one I just told you before. He's with you always. When we learn that we can rise above our emotions, you really come into a place of maturity like none other. It's not that our emotions are always, you know, right. It's not that I think ever on this side of heaven you are going to always have right emotions. There are going to be days when you're just emotionally kind of like, what is wrong with me? You know, I feel down, or I feel kind of discouraged, or I feel rejected. I mean, sometimes these things I feel are legitimate. You have been rejected, or you're going through grief, or you have terrible circumstances around you. Our emotions aren't necessarily our enemy. They're just never meant to lead you. Always meant to be the caboose on the train, not the engine. They follow us, they don't lead us. And when we can come into a place where we say, we just don't live according to these emotions. We live according to God's word. I believe God's word over my emotions. So when I feel like everybody hates me, I know I'm not going to live according to everybody hates me. Because God says he loves me. And he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. But I messed up so big, you must be so disappointed in me. But he says that if you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's over now, as soon as you repent. When we can learn to rise above these emotions and say, I believe your word, God, that will, more than anything else, it will help you stay in the place of authority 24/7, to not give it to the enemy. Because the enemy is like, oh, you're having such a cruddy day. Why even fight? Why even pray? Why make those faith declarations? You could say, I do not live according to my emotions. Here we go, Jesus. I am going to praise you. I am going to worship you. I am going to declare your truth. We have to anchor our security in God's word and his presence being with you. not in others' approval of you or your current feelings. All right, number four. Another truth for helping you stay in your place of authority. You need to know this. Intimidation and fear are absolutely by far your greatest enemies of authority. They're the greatest enemies of your authority. Intimidation and fear. I want to turn to 1 Kings, which I thought I marked, but I guess I didn't. If you have a Bible with you, turn to 1 Kings 18. It's a story of Elijah. I really love this story so much. It starts in 18, and Elijah is a very powerful Old Testament prophet. And he lived in a day when there was a super wicked king, Ahab, who had an even wickeder, if that's a word, queen named Jezebel. I mean, she's forever, right? If a woman is really, really, really nasty, if a woman is really controlling, a control freak, people call her a Jezebel. I mean, forever, this woman epitomizes demons. I mean, she is really wicked, okay? Idol-worshipping, demon-worshipping queen. Extremely controlling. And this is who was ruling Israel. And most of Israel, not all of Israel, but most of Israel was not serving God at all. Most of them had went the way of Ahab and Jezebel. They were living in a lot of wickedness. And the Spirit of God is on Elijah. I mean, he is very powerful man of God. And the Lord basically tells him it's time for a showdown. I want you to call a showdown on Mount Carmel. God versus the prophet of Baals. And so Elijah, he calls Israel. He calls the leaders of Israel. He says, we're going to see if God is God, you better serve him. But if Baal is God, you can serve him. And he says, we're going to have the showdown. We're going to seal this deal. We're going to figure this thing out right now. I love this so much. And so he has, here we have 450 prophets of Baal there and one Elijah. Guess what? God and you are a majority. Always. God and you are always a majority. And so basically they build these two altars, one for God, one for Baal. And they do their sacrifice. They put their bulls on them, you know, like they kill the bulls, whatever. And Elijah says, okay, the sacrifice that God answers by fire, by consuming the sacrifice with fire, then you'll know that's the real God. And so he says, you know, go ahead, prophets of Baal, you can go first. And so they're doing their demon worship. They're dancing around, slitting themselves, cutting themselves. And Elijah, after hours of this, he starts really having some fun. He's like, oh, guys, didn't you know Baal's on the potty? He's in the bathroom right now. He doesn't have time to answer you. I mean, that's literally some of the things he's saying. He's like, yeah, he's having a lot of fun as they're like chanting and demons manifesting left and right. That's really, I bet it could be an intimidating thing. But he was not intimidated. He was confident in his God. And then after they were all done, he's like, okay, fine. I want some water, barrels and barrels of water. I can't remember if he said 50 gallons or something. It was like many barrels of water. He goes, I want you to dump all the water on my sacrifice. He prays one prayer. Literally, fire comes from heaven and licks up the sacrifice and all the water in the trenches around it. God answered. He turned to the people. They fell on their face and began to repent. And he's like, you know, captured all these wicked prophets, and he slaughters them. You know, it's kind of Old Testament style, how they dealt with it. We never saw Jesus slaughtering any Pharisees, okay? We follow him. But anyway, this is the way they dealt with it, so they dealt with it. So here is Elijah having, by far, in my opinion, the greatest victory he has ever had in his life. He just successfully turned an entire nation back to God. with faith in God's word. Sorry, guys, I did have it written down, actually, and I printed out a new version of my notes that didn't have the actual little scripture I'm looking for. So, after this, there's also been this, like, 7-year famine or something, really, really long famine in that land. The rain breaks. There's rain, right? He prophesies it. He makes it happen. But after this is all done, I think it's 19, Jezebel hears what happens. Jezebel hears that Elijah has called this showdown, that he has now slaughtered 450 demon prophets of Baal, which were her guys. She fed them from her table, it says. She was supporting their livelihood because that's what she was doing with her life. And she was totally irate. Demons manifesting all over the place on Jezzy. Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Now, I would think, water off a duck's back. I just took on 450 prophets of Baal. God met me with fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. One queen in a castle saying, I'm going to get you, should be nothing, right? But there was such a spirit of fear and intimidation on her words that it says when she said those words, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. What? I mean, this is a guy that when the armies of God are closing in on him, the Lord would just pick him up and, like, carry him to a new place. I mean, this guy has had supernatural protection for years. He's been fed by ravens in the desert. I mean, he has had supernatural protection. And one woman, one Jezebel, operating in a spirit of fear and intimidation, says, I'm going to kill you by tonight. And he is running for his life through the desert, afraid. It says he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah. He left his servant there. Run for your life. You stay here. Hide. I'm keeping on going. And he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. 48 hours earlier, he had the greatest victory he had ever had in his life. And he was praying Jesus would take him to heaven right then, struck him dead. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Talk about a man who just gave up his authority. Have it one moment, it's gone the next. A few things you can learn from this. Actually, your greatest moments of vulnerability are after your greatest moments of victory. Really, you just have to know it. If you know I am vulnerable after a great victory, there's something amazing, you're excited about that victory, there's this, and now there's this natural in your body even, crash, sometimes it happens, and the enemy's there to make the most of it, to make the most of you coming off of this even emotional high. And you're most vulnerable after your greatest victory. But here is Elijah, bowing to fear and intimidation. The devil did not steal his authority. He laid it down, picking up fear, and ran with fear instead of authority. And you see, in the next chapter, the Lord did give him a successor. He says, if you're tired, if you're ready to be done, I'll raise up Elisha to take your place. Interesting. It is so important that we never bow our head to a spirit of fear and intimidation. And when you feel it on you, like, oh, I'm so afraid to move forward, I take authority over fear in Jesus' name. You have not given me a spirit of fear. You have given me power, love, a sound mind. I can move forward because of that. Number five, it piggybacks on number four. If you do not walk in your authority, the enemy will steal it from you and use it against you. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. All of a sudden, he quit walking in his authority, caved to a spirit of fear and intimidation, and the enemy took that authority that he laid down. He was using it against him to torment him. It's better that you would die, Elijah. What are you doing? You're no better than anybody else. What are you talking about? He's a prophet of the Lord, preaching and turning a whole nation back to God. Of course he's amazing. You must stand in your authority. Number six, I do not believe is on your sheet, but I'm going to add it. God has given you not only authority over demons, but he has given you authority over your own flesh. This is really important. God has given you authority over your own flesh. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete. I train it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul is saying here, I take authority over even my own body to make sure that it is pleasing to the Lord. God has given you authority over your flesh. He's given you authority over your emotions, over your cravings, over your desires. You are not run by your desires. You are to run your desires. To lord over them. This is what that means. If you are gluten intolerant, you should not eat bread, right? You have the power, full authority to never eat bread again. This is big. This is like, this would be hard, right? Right now, we are on a special diet since last October, and Malachi can't eat. He's type 1 diabetic. We put him on a special diet. He doesn't eat rice. He doesn't eat pasta. He doesn't eat any wheat, no sugar, no potatoes, no corn. The whole family went on it. I like pasta. I would rather have pasta, right? But the Lord has given us authority. Our cravings don't run us. We eat to live, not live to eat, right? So you can do what is good for your body. You have authority. You need to tell your body that. I will eat what's good for my body. I will exercise if that's good for my body. I take authority over my emotions. They don't run me. So when I feel like my emotions are out of control, I will literally say, I take authority right now over my emotions. I tell you, line up with the Word of God. I tell you, put your hope in the Lord. When I'm feeling like I'm addicted to coffee, I say, I break that addiction in Jesus' name. I am not going to drink coffee for the next week now. And I declare I am not addicted to coffee, and I will reign and rule over this body that God has given me for his glory to the best of my ability. I mean, you know, the Lord gave us food to enjoy too. So, you know, this is the pattern of what it looks like to give your authority away. We see it right in Adam. Adam was the first man to give his authority to the enemy. And people have been doing it ever since. But it all started with Adam. You know, honestly, the devil, the serpent, came to Adam, and he told Adam a lie. And this is how it happened. Number one thing to give your authority away is listen to a lie. I guarantee as soon as that serpent opened his mouth, something felt wrong to Adam. He knew this doesn't sound, it doesn't feel right. Don't you, when you start hearing a lie, like sometimes initially, the first thing you're like, it doesn't feel right, doesn't settle right. I should walk away. I should walk. And if Adam could have only walked away right then, said, I'm not listening to this lie. I know God is good. More than any man that ever lived, Adam knew God was good. He walked with him in the cool of the garden. He saw him create Eve. I mean, It's like, whoa. And here was the enemy. Oh, he's just holding out on you. He's just holding out on you. And he sat there and he listened. And number two, then he began to entertain the lie, thinking on it, maybe questioning. Maybe God isn't good. Maybe God has been holding out on me. Maybe there is something about that tree that I should know about more. And then number three, he acted on the lie. And as soon as he acted on that lie through entering into disobedience, he forever at that point gave his authority, literally the keys of the earth, to the devil. And Jesus, calling himself the second Adam, had to come redeem the earth and take back the keys of authority. Praise God, he did that. That is the pattern of how Adam gave up his authority, and that's a pattern of how many of us will be, the enemy will attempt to take away our place of authority. He will begin with a lie. He'll ask you to entertain it. You'll mull it around in your mind. That leads to actions of disobedience to the Lord, and all of a sudden, you have given up your authority and handed it over. Good news is you can break the lie, right? Take it back. Whether the lie is fear, anxiety, depression, sickness, hopelessness, whatever it is. I'm going to end with this. I think this is on your sheet, but I don't know that there are any blanks, but I want it there so that you can go and you could go through it later if you needed to. How to take authority over the devil in your personal life. Now, Jeff, a couple months ago, he actually preached a whole sermon on how to cast out demons. It was the first time he'd ever, I think, preached a whole sermon on that. It was really good. But this is about how to deal with your own personal life. It's not even talking about necessarily ministry to somebody else, but how to take authority over the devil in your own life. When you see that I'm having these cycles of depression or sin where I keep falling into some kind of darkness, how do you take authority over the devil in your own personal life? Because this is what Proverbs 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And listen to this. He who rules over his own spirit is better than one that takes a city. It is better that you would rule over your own heart well than taking a whole city for God. Revival starts with ruling over your own spirit well. Saying, I am under God, the master of my own heart, and I am going to use my authority to have victory in me. So this is what you do. Number one, identify lies that you have believed and break agreement with them. Do you know how many people have believed the lie that they are worthless, that they have little value, that no one would want to be friends with them, that God would never want to prosper them, that they're not worthy of love? I mean, there are so many lies the enemy is eager to tell you. But when you ask the Lord to help you identify them and break agreement with them, number two, then ask the Lord, what is the truth that you are speaking to me? Because I want to agree with it. And then you take that truth and you begin to agree with it on purpose. Number three, you do that by praying. Declare out loud that you break agreement with the lie. Declare out loud that you agree with God's truth. And then out loud, tell any spirit that's been tormenting you that it must leave you right now in Jesus' name. And then number four, you praise God for your victory. I want to tell you one story, and then we're going to have some ministry time where we're actually going to ask the Lord to help us identify lies that we have believed and break them to come into personal freedom. There was a number of years ago, I had a lot going on in my life, and I was trying to press into some new things. Anyway, during this time, I found that I would come under, like, heaviness on a regular basis. Sometimes I would just wake up into feeling really heavy, really, really heavy. I was, it was during this time when I was trying to plan Gather in the Generals conference the first time, I think. Anyway, so I would wake up feeling the sensation that, like, 100 pounds were on my shoulder. And almost, like, it would be hard to take deep breaths. And I was like, man, what is wrong? And I was like trying to press through my days, you know, trying to, I'm just going to live in some Thanksgiving here. But, you know, kind of like you feel cloudy when you feel like that. And it would be like day after day, I would experience what I consider heaviness and oppression. And I wasn't really doing anything. I wasn't in sin that I knew about. I wasn't in disobedience to the Lord that I knew about. But I was really, man, I was like, man, what is wrong with me emotionally that I am feeling so much heaviness? And I thought, you know, you always think it's just you. You know, I don't know. Yeah, just me. I guess I need to spend more time in the Word, or I need to think on the right things or whatever. Well, one day I was in the shower, and I was like, oh, I'm so discouraged. Why? I just woke up feeling this crushing heaviness on me. And I was in the shower, and I was like, God, I'm so tired of this. Why do I feel like this for weeks? And I don't know why I didn't pray this before, but all of a sudden I just said, if this is spiritual attack, I just take authority over it right now in Jesus' name, and I command it to leave. And immediately, I mean, I felt immediately, it lifted off. And I was like, oh my goodness, why didn't I do that a month ago? Wow, wow. I mean, I felt it lift off. And I was like, that thing was a demon? I mean, that was a demonic attack against me. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I wrote this down in my journal. I was like, every time I feel that sensation, I will not allow that to stay. I will not. And as soon as I knew that the enemy, he's a liar. He is a liar. So he's trying to say, well, something's wrong with you. Well, it's an emotional time in your life. Well, you got a lot of pressures on you. I mean, there's the reasons why you should feel stressed, why you should feel heavy. But all along, it was a demonic attack to hinder me. As soon as I had taken authority over it, it left. And I knew that's a lie. I will not come into agreement with that again. The Lord has not given me heaviness. He has not given me depression. He has not given me heaviness. And so I began to break that a lie. And if I ever felt on me, in Jesus' name, I command all heaviness to get off of me in Jesus' name. I fix my eyes on the Lord. And then I would speak to my emotions. Emotions, worship the Lord. You know, David did this to himself all the time. He'd say, soul, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Look at the Lord. Take hope in God. He's like speaking to his soul. He's feeling heavy. He's feeling depressed. He's feeling discouraged. And he's saying, soul, why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? Put your hope in the Lord. I command you, look at God. I command you, look at the Lord. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Look at God. Look at him. Put your hope in him. And, you know, so many of those psalms, David would start out in depression and end in rejoicing. Do you notice that? He'd start out, oh, my soul, I'm downcast. I feel forsaken. Oh, soul, why are you downcast? Put your hope in the Lord. And by the end, he's like, I rejoice in my God. He always comes through for me. And, you know, blah, 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 the psalms, they're wonderful. So right now, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord that if there's any lies that you need to identify that are keeping you from walking in your authority in Jesus. And so if we're going to put a little worship music on, and if you have a pen, if you want to jot them down on your notes somewhere, you can. You don't have to. But we're going to, right now, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to bring us, help us to walk in the full authority of Jesus Christ for our life 24/7. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just ask you right now, Father, to seal us with your love, Lord. Father, we ask that you would show us your great love, your plans for us, Lord. Father, we ask that you would show us ways that we have been actually giving the enemy our authority through wavering in our decisions and not really believing that you are leading us, that you'll direct us by not really believing that you're with us, by not believing your word, your promises, by yielding to intimidation or fear, times that we are giving up our authority to the Lord, to the enemy, and he's using it against us. God, I ask that you would show us these things so we could break agreement with them And so we can come into agreement with you right now. Thank you, Jesus. So welcome
here. Let's stand up and worship the Lord right now.
Come and do what only you can, and all that you want, you're welcome here. Give us a passion for.
Lord is showing us areas of our life that we've just not been walking in authority in, that we've just been yielding and kind of bowing out and not been reigning over them with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just say, God, we take the place of authority you've given us. We will rule over our lives in Christ Jesus well. We will rule over every area of our life well by the grace of God. We will not yield our authority to the enemy or to even other people. What you have told us to walk in, the confidence that you've told us to walk in, we will walk in it by the grace of God. God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you didn't leave us here helpless, but you gave us your power. You gave us your authority. You gave us your permission to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You gave us your permission to reign in life, to move forward in confidence in your love. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us helpless, but you gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to help us. You are so good, Lord. Thank you for your equipping. Thank you for your equipping.
that you equip us to do well in life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that you would help us as a church to operate in the authority that you've given us. God, you would wake us up. Lord, that you would awaken our hearts in every way, that we would not yield the authority you've given us in any way, shape, or form, not individuals and not corporately as a body, but instead we would walk in your power and your authority and we move forward. Thank you, Father, that everything in your kingdom moves forward. You created us to move forward in you, Jesus. And we worship you. Jeff and I are going to be up here, kind of over on this side. If anyone needs prayer, if you want just some extra prayer, we'll be up over here to pray for people. And the rest of you, I want to tell you to have a wonderful Mother's Day, to have a great time with your families, and to be blessed by the Lord. Walk in your authority this week. God bless you. Bye-bye.